Lyrics to go. 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 Going along to the rhythm variation. Wake up in the morning, I still represent the nation.
We like that. Yes. Right.
Lyrics to go. 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 Going on and on to the rhythmic variation. Waking in the morning, I still represent the nation. When I speak a nation, please don't make the deviation. Rebels of the party who create the drum sensation. Mind is a pit of different information. Microphone is on, so I cause communication. Vogel at the party, then you got the vogelation. Decapitating fools, yo, as if my name was Jason.
Making all we're like the honorary tribe.
Decapitating fools, as if my name was Jason.
Oh, Tribe Called Quest, get back together.
They touring.
We're going.
What are you trying to get on that that Outkast?
Yes, definitely gonna go see Outkast. Ooh, we have we ever seen Outkast?
We've seen them twice.
We have.
We went to the Stankonia tour.
We did go to the Stankonia tour. Where was that concert?
The Universal Amphitheater at the time, what it was called,
the
Verizon Amphitheater now.
Oh, yeah. When it was the Universal Amphitheater.
Because I'm trying to think, was that the one? No, that wasn't it. That wasn't the one with Common and Bilal, was it? I think they were in the Roots joint.
It might have been. No, yeah. Common Bilal sounds like a Roots. But then we went to that Roots funeral thing, too.
Yeah.
The variety
then
show.
Then we saw him for a bit at the. We went to that outside fest.
That big rave joint?
Yeah, the one where you were like, I ain't sitting out. I ain't doing this crap again.
Ever. Oh, my God. Too many intoxicated others. Scary situation. But, yeah. Tonight, we have an interesting topic to discuss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You listening to the Black Is Break, the Lion and the Ram in the house.
Yes, it's the Lion and the Ram version of the break. And our son received his first little love letter this week.
That's what you want to call it.
Yeah, that's
more
what
like
I'm
a
calling.
Note.
Yeah, I guess a love note. He received a piece of Hello Kitty paper, and the piece of Hello Kitty paper has a drawing.
I know you got it on your phone.
Of course I do. It's documented. Hello Kitty paper with a drawing of a little girl with her arms out smiling, and she's surrounded by hearts and stars and ice cream cones and raindrops. Or maybe those are fireworks. I can't really tell. Maybe they're fireworks. And then on the other side of the paper, it says phone. And then there's just a smattering of letters all smushed together, uppercase and lowercase, that if you try to pronounce it phonetically would read home-co-like-ye. Don't know exactly what it says.
We don't know what that translates into.
At all. But I received the call from my mother, because it was on the day that my parents picked up Eli from school. And my mom was like, Eli got this little love note. And your dad said it says something about this girl likes him. So I couldn't wait to see the note. So, of course, I look at it and try to decipher it and show it to Chris.
Oh, that's when he was over. He said of your parents that night.
Yes. Oh, yes, Ken. Because let's just say real quick, SoCal Gas Company, thumbs down. Thumbs down on your customer service. Thumbs down on your overall, just everything. And, you know, they sending me surveys right now wanting me to actually rate their service. I'm like, do you really want me to do this?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
That's thumbs, why they send you the survey.
Yeah, thumbs down. We asking them to come move something. First of all, who puts the meter right in front of a crawl space? stupid. So we need somebody to go under the crawl space and they can't fit because the meter is there. Call for months to get the meter moved. They giving us the runaround. Then all of a sudden one day, just out the blue, they come and move the meter and cut the gas off.
And don't tell us they're going
to
do it.
No. Got no notice at all. But come home to one of those little door hangers. Sorry, we missed you. Give us a call so we can turn your gas back on. It's only winter. And granted, we're in LA, so LA winter is not like winter in ATL right now. Shit. But it's cold for us.
Right.
I come in, I can't turn on the heat. I can't cook dinner. So we're going to send one of our robotechs out there as soon as we can. 3 hours later.
Right.
And this is already 7 o'clock at night. So long story short, we made arrangements for our son to spend the night at my parents' house because they're right down the street and he was already there. And so.
Right. So I got there and he said it to me. He was like, it was a share day that Wednesday. And he was like, put it in the spot with Jay's note. I'm like, what? And he handed it to me. I looked at it, but I didn't really pay attention to it. I was like, okay, it's some drawing and words. Okay, whatever. And then he said, your mom called you later that day and was like, he got a note from some girl in his class.
Yeah. So yeah. After I see the note.
You know how mamas do. Who is this?
First, I pulled up his class, his little class picture, so I could remind myself of who this little girl is. And I remember her. She's number one in his class. Everybody in his class has a number. Eli. All the pizza's gone. Eli, what number is Jade in your classroom? Isn't she number one?
She's number
16. Oh, she's 16. Okay. I don't know then. She lines up first.
I was like, I'm about to sign up. She toward the back end of the line when I seen her.
But whenever I go to pick him up, well, when I was over there volunteering in the class, she was always first.
Oh, I don't know.
At least to leave class. Maybe they line up backwards. I don't know. So anyway, I said, who gave you this note? Just to get him to clarify. He said, Jade. And I said, well, why did she give you this note, baby? Because she likes me, mommy. Just as straightforward as possible. So I said, so Eli, is Jade your girlfriend? And he goes, oh, I don't know what that means. Actually, that wasn't the right sound. He went, I forget the sound he made. I had it in my mind for the longest time, but it was like, something like that.
Some mind, no answer. Like, next question.
Yeah, kind of like, oh, like just, I don't really know how to respond to that. Right. Not a yes, not a no.
Yeah, because y'all know what boyfriend means. By the time we like, it's a separate word.
Yeah.
She's a girl who's my friend. Yes.
Right. And then he told me, somebody else was his girlfriend. I said, oh, okay. The funny thing is, though, I end up deciding to post this little note on Facebook.
I don't know why you did that.
Because I just thought it was funny and I wanted to see how people would respond, really. That's what it was. I had a whole, well, not a whole lot, but a few, oh, hell nah. How old are these kids? When you gonna talk to her mama? And I actually had one cousin of mine who I love dearly who was like, I'm sorry, but when are you gonna call the teacher and have a conference to let this little girl know that her behavior is absolutely inappropriate? I'm thinking to myself, inappropriate? Like, that's human.
Right.
Oh, this is what Eli said when I asked him, is that your girlfriend? He went, oh, that's what he did.
Check me out.
Right. But I was like, no, it's human. It's human. And so my cousin then responded and was like, okay, yes, to like somebody is absolutely human. But if this little girl is putting this much effort in at 5, what is she going to do at 10? And if I am honest with y'all, my initial thought was, that's not my problem.
Right.
But then my very good friend, our very good friend, Guz, chimed in. And it's funny. She's not a mother. My cousin is not a mother either. And she was like, I just love this time in life watching the children trying to communicate to one another and extend an offer of friendship. I like you. Will you be my friend? And she was like, I'm sorry, I cannot sexualize this. I just can't.
Right.
Like, they're little kids. You know what I mean? I just think it's an honest extension of, you know, I like you. Here are the things I like. And I like you too. You know what I mean? Be my friend. And I was like, that's really what I saw, what I thought of when I saw it.
Yeah, I remember in kindergarten. I don't know, remember the girl's name. I'm sure my mama
she
would do.
You were popular in kindergarten.
No, I was not. He was
world, citywide.
Yeah, okay.
I had chicks in high school who said that they liked you in elementary school.
They'll say, I went to kindergarten. You over here like in elementary.
Well, no, kindergarten. They liked you in kindergarten.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Where were they at? Because they didn't go to my school.
They knew your cousin. Or you knew their cousin.
Oh, that.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Like, what the heck? Kindergarten. I remember having a friend who just, it seemed like once I got to like, sixth grade or something, and your mama, you know, what you gonna do to Eli once he getting like sixth grade? Remember that girl who liked you back in kindergarten? You're like, I don't know her. I don't remember. But you, it's kind of like, that's when you kind of start having them like, this person seems a little interesting, or they stand out, or something about them you like, but it's not anything like that. Well, this ain't for guys. I don't know. Y'all mature early as hell, so I don't know. But we just like, she's cool. You know, we can be friends.
Yeah. And the thing is, we know, and I'm every parent, I suspect, goes through this particular emotion. But we know, Christopher and I know, that we have an exceptional child on all levels.
He act like a 5-year-old.
He does. And he works our nerves. Not even going to front. But from the day he was born, he was absolutely gorgeous. To the point all the nurses kept telling us, oh, you got one of the cute ones. We know you going to come back. Because people who have cute children always have more than one. So we know we going to see y'all again. He's a stunningly gorgeous child. He's bright. He's positive and optimistic and self-assured. So it is to know. Well, no, it is a surprise to me for him to get a love note this early.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
But we've been told since he was born that we were gonna have problems.
Yeah, you gonna be having fun. I'm just making sure he like. I'm making sure he don't get big headed.
Yeah,
you get to be like, who this? Who on the phone? Who is that? Who is that? Get off the phone.
He might end up being one of those boys.
Who this fast girl?
Yeah, I'm checking all fast chicks at the door. Checking them. He will know who is appropriate to bring home.
You did have that moment though,
and
when you saw. You're like, who is this fast girl giving my son his note?
Until I really looked at the note and was like, oh, this is sweet. It'd be different if the note was like crazy inappropriate and she was drawing pictures of a little girl with boobs or kissing or anything like that. Then I would have been like, yeah, shut down.
Yeah.
But ice cream cones and hearts,
sugar and spice, everything nice.
Fireworks, it's cute. It's cute. And it's a picture of the little girl with her arms out, like, hi.
And they ain't kindergarten. I mean, we'll more than likely they're gonna be at the same school.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that develops.
And I guess my question, it'd be interesting to hear family what you guys think about this. Is like, you know, how do you tackle this subject with your children? You know, at what point does contact with one of their peers become inappropriate? At what point do you really need to monitor it? You know, at this point, our child is not doing any sort of home communication with anybody online. He's not Skyping with anybody other than his cousin. You know, he doesn't know to call anybody except for us. Mm-hmm. So he's not having any level of correspondence.
No, we keep monitoring that.
Yeah, with anyone. But at what point do you do it?
I would think elementary school, like third, fourth grade. That's when it hit for me. I think it was fourth grade when I was really started liking girls.
Okay. That's were you calling girls at home at that point?
Nah, man.
Were you calling? Did you call any of your male friends? Did you and your male friends?
I didn't really start talking on the phone. Well, shit. When did I start talking? Period. But I started using the phone probably, I guess, late junior high and high school.
Okay.
Which I guess for me, I guess I'd be a late bloomer. And people like, I started in six, which I guess would be, you know, junior high now, I guess is when to start, when it comes.
Yeah.
And hearing all the stories that you and everybody else has had about junior high, I'm like, well, I need to start slowly working this in before he gets to junior high.
Yeah. Because our son is a communicator, he's a talker. So he's going to move on that quick.
Make sure you keep yourself on the straight and narrow. Like, this is going to happen. You're going to get it. Slow your roll. That don't mean you the ish.
No.
You ain't all that because you got to check. Slow down.
And be selective.
Do not be one of them guys.
Yeah, and be selective. You do not have to communicate with everybody that wants to communicate with you. Like, Lord knows I'm going to try to teach him to focus on quality from the gate, but I know he got to go through that traditional male time period of just going berserk, talking to all different types of people just to figure out what he likes and what he doesn't like. But I don't want to be one of those mothers that encourages my son to hoe out. There's a lot of mothers that do that. And the thing is, I understand it. I understand it because being the mother to a son, well, being a mother to children, period, you're protective, but with your son, for me, because I'm a woman and because I hope one day to be a grandmother, I'm so very concerned about who he'll spend that kind of time with, who he'll partner with for that. And I want him to make the right decision. And because of that, I don't want him to necessarily rush. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's the whole being the person that cannot get pregnant versus when you were a girl, it's like, I don't want her to have sex until she 28.
Yeah.
And your son, you like, just wear a condom.
But I don't even want to say that. Because the thing is, I don't want...
I don't want it either.
Yeah, I don't want to say that either. Because it's... He's living... He is coming up at a very different time than we are.
He's going to see all that early.
Yeah. And I just...
You're probably not from us. Just from, like you said, with some of the cartoons and...
He'll get it at school. He'll get it the same way we got it.
Commercials, all of that.
Yeah, and at school, you know, because you got friends that are exposed to all kinds of stuff that you're not necessarily exposed to when they put you on.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to believe that we give him, or we are giving him, enough of a foundation and jump-starting his common sense. So that when something foolish comes across his way, he can discern that, yeah, that is probably not the move to make.
No, I agree. It's all about him. Yeah, the whole thing is common sense. Yeah. You just want him to be aware and to be smart and to choose wisely. And if you want to talk to this girl, fine.
Yeah.
You know, when he gets that age, you know, we gonna have them talks. I'm not letting the school or the church, who ain't gonna tell him nothing,
right,
about sex, is like, hey, not you need to hear it from me, you know, from us, and just be smart about that kind of stuff. Be aware, don't fall into peer pressure. If you don't feel comfortable, don't do it,
right?
But I'm glad we ain't got to go. We got time for that.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
At what age do you think we will provide him with a mobile device?
Oh crap. Oh, God. I want to say 13. I'm probably off because I don't have any, you know, I don't know what nieces and nephews now, and having friends who got like teenage kids and like, well, when did you get them their phone? It's just at some point it's like, I need a phone.
Yeah, I remember my middle niece having one. She had something called a Firefly.
Yeah.
And that was the phone that you program numbers in there. You can't call nobody, right, except whose numbers are in there.
Right.
I like that.
And how old was she then?
Sixth, I think, or maybe even younger. And I was like, what the heck you need with a phone? You a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But then she had an older sister who had a real phone. So they was together most of the time anyway.
I mean, you work out of middle school. What, do all the kids have phones?
A good number of them.
Sixth graders too?
Yep, sixth graders. No, not as much. Eighth graders, yes.
Everybody got a phone. You
eighth graders, a good number of the eighth graders do.
So if you in eighth grade,
13, 14.
You ain't got a phone. Are they like, you ain't got no phone yet? What's wrong with you?
Something like that. Because everybody doesn't have one.
Okay.
But a good number of them okay. do.
By the time you get to high school, I'm guessing like a prerequisite, or you getting clowned.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're using so much technology in the classes now that teachers are allowing students to use it as a educational device. You need to go to Google, take out your phone, and Google such and such.
Oh, and then you heard what president wanting to put Wi-Fi in schools. When he said that in this state of Virginia, I was like, man, I wish I was a kid now and had a phone. I'd be like, cool, I got free Wi-Fi. I ain't doing no work.
Look, we didn't even need the internet. We didn't even have the internet when we were graduated from high school. That became, for you, probably freshman year of college. Definitely for me, freshman year of college. It was like, oh, I need an email address.
And everybody was in the computer lab then and doing all that.
Yeah. Like, if you had a computer, you were balling. Mm-hmm. Her granny and papa brought me one, and it was a big darn deal that I had a computer, because before that, I had a word processor.
Yeah, and we tried to have one in our little apartment my senior year. We just couldn't get the internet and all that to work. But
Look at the new place.
So, Eli, can we ask you a couple of questions? Hold on. Can we ask you a couple of questions? Mommy and Daddy are recording. Can we ask you some questions?
Yes.
Okay. So, how did you feel receiving that note from your friend Jade? How did that make you feel?
Happy.
Why did it make you happy?
Because I like when people give me pictures.
Okay. And would you consider Jade one of your best friends?
Yes.
And did you write Jade a note back? Did you give her a note back?
No.
Did she give a note to everybody, or did she just give a note to you?
She gave a note to Crystal and me.
Oh, so to you and Crystal. Do you think that Jade's note was asking to be really good friends?
Yes.
Okay. Any follow-up questions, Daddy? I feel like I'm asking him all these leading questions.
Well, he basically explained, you know, he liked getting pictures, and he gave it to me and this girl. So it was like, oh, she writing
multiple notes.
Yep. And then goes iPad.
Right.
I wanted to get into the Grammy talk. I don't think we're going to get into that one. By the time we do it, it might be old.
Okay.
But let me ask, I found this story. That's when I told you that I was going to not tell you to till later.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. I'll do that one first. I have tune in. The question that was asked from, shout out to the folks at the In Deep Show. If I want to get your immediate response, okay? Whatever comes to your head, I'm sure it's going to be something awful.
Uh-oh.
Okay, what? So, I'll call you.
You call
like,
me.
I'm calling like, da-da-ding, hello. And you're like,
hey, baby.
Hey, and you just like, why is this sound? You know, you like, all of a sudden you're like, why is this sound? I'm on a plane. Yeah, I'm on my way to.
You on a plane? Pause. What?
Yeah, I'm on my way to Cancun.
Excuse me?
That was a question. It's like if your spouse, if your significant other called you from a plane and was like, yeah, I'm going to Cancun for like. Whatever. Then amount of time.
We got a motherfucking problem. That's ain't nothing else to be said about it. We got a fucking problem. You on a plane to Cancun? With who? For what? What about me? What about the boy?
I know. That's when I was like, wow. That's when
I can't get no heads up? Hilarious.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I heard so many people were like, oh, you ain't coming home to nothing.
Right. Never. No, I wouldn't have you not come home to nothing. Shit, we married. It don't work like that. But that's absolutely unacceptable. Like, you're on the plane to Cancun. Guess what? So are Eli and I. We on our way to Cancun, too. We will meet you there so we can figure out what the fuck is going on. Are you serious right now?
Thank you.
I ain't going to sit here and wait for you to come back. I'm on my way to Cancun, too. That's what happens. That's my response.
Yeah, yeah, that was funny when I heard. I was like, oh, okay.
Who did that?
No,
or was it a hypothetical?
That was, no. I think Queenie mentioned it that.
In her relationship or somebody else's relationship?
Somebody she knew.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's how I understand. I think they are still together.
Yeah, you were the cheater. Straight up. Because that's just, to me, that's a blatant sign of disrespect.
That I'm calling you, like, from the plane, not like, yeah. Hey, I want to go. Or no, you just like, hey.
I'm already on the way.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like the Harlem Nights. Hey, put your phone. Hey, what's up? Yeah.
I ain't never coming home anymore. That's pretty much what that sounds like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it'd be different if you said, you know, within your line of business. You know what I'm saying? If you're, and even then.
Well, it's still foul just the fact that you ain't tell me.
Yeah, even then it's a stretch because very rarely in any line of business does anybody need to catch a plane immediately to go somewhere that would involve them having to bypass checking in with the house. That's
yeah. just, no. That sound real foul.
Bad taste in my mouth. Yeah. Terrible. No. So what was the next one?
I read this story. I can't. This is why I am not with this new team. Leave it in. I'm not with that.
What is team? Leave it
in. You heard like basically if you look on the everybody talked about the show pictures of the chicks and basically like would you leave it in?
Oh wow!
And that's based game on they now? Look. No, I guess people do that. I don't know if girls do. Did you let them leave? I don't know. Team, but leave it but in. Now it's not. But they have like. Some people, I've seen people comment like, dang, I leave it in. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And but I said that to all I saw thing that Bow Wow got fired from 106 in Park because he charged $30,000 on a company card for child support.
Oh. Wait. First of all, I didn't know you could pay child support by credit card.
I didn't know either. I didn't know either.
This is good to know for everybody out there struggling. If your credit is good, you might be able to charge that.
I'm like, what, on a company card?
Yeah, you're tripping, Val.
$30,000? I'm like, if you spend $30,000 on a company card and it ain't like work related, they're going to be like, what are you doing?
Let's see. That's also somebody not reading contracts. You know, like somebody straight up
wanting their contract to end. That's yeah. what that is.
That's a hot mess. That's a hot mess. And the funny thing is, I heard recently, I heard that T.I. and Tiny are splitting up.
Yeah, I heard. I've read that rumor. And I guess Polly said it's just a rumor.
I hope so because I like them and they got too many kids to not be together. Mm-hmm.
Y'all
got
to wait, at least wait till they 18 and get out.
Yeah. One of my Facebook friends was making the comment that that T.I. doesn't want Tiny to work because every time she tries to get something going, somehow it gets cock blocked or burned down or something. So this would be a jacked up situation for her. Or either, no, she was making the point that if this was happening, maybe Tiny was getting fed up and wanted to assert herself. Somehow I doubt that. She's a mama bear. She got a lot going on at home.
Mm-hmm. And she seemed like from when I've caught on the show, that she's a manager and all that. I mean, every woman don't want to just sit home and raise children. Not in this day and age.
Not at all.
People want to be like bouncing.
Oh, yes. Oh, speaking of Bay. Bezos. It was all kind of articles that came out after the Grammys. And, you know, people love taking Beyonce and making her into whatever they want her to be. Mm-hmm. I read two articles today, this morning actually. One talked about the fact that they thought Bay stands for basic, but it wasn't a diss. This person is also from Houston. They were saying that they felt like Beyonce was pretty much basic in every category. They were like, you know, her singing is basic because there's better singers. Her dancing is fairly basic because there's better dancers. They're like, her looks okay. There she's exceptional. She's drop dead gorgeous. Not going to touch that. But they were like, if you take away all her riches and, you know, pair her with the drug dealer gone straight with a baby who hair is never combed, hip popping, gum smacking. Like she's any other girl out of Houston. You know what I mean? Like she's your regular Houston chick, mm-hmm. who's just, you know, got a good was set on the path for success took that shit and ran with it. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, the reason why people love her so much is because she reminds them of themselves, because they are basic. And she's showing them this is a basic person can still be exceptional if they go ahead and follow their dreams or give into whatever talents they have. And so they were like, the basic stands, they protect her because for them, she is a beacon of hope, a sign of what they can all, you know, all
aspire to be.
Thank you. Sleepy as I don't know what. But then another article addressed the eat the cake line. And actually, it was two articles. One person was saying that they just thought it was absolutely abhorrent that at the performance, when Jay-Z is singing Eat the Cake Anime, that Beyonce get a little bass in her voice and joins him and says Eat the Cake Anime too. But then this other woman touches on it, and her point was really food for thought. She was making the point that she said, you know, and it was a long article, so to make a very long article short, that Beyonce, in her claiming of sexuality and feminism in this particular album, you know, and packaging that all up to say, I'm confident in who I am and I'm with the man who loves me as I am, she kind of evolves from anime to Tina Turner. And, you know, from...
I can kind of see that.
Yeah, from victim to superstar, you know what I mean? And, you know, searching for the Ike Turner of her own. I forget how they worded this shit. They tried to make it where, you know, every woman kind of wants an Ike Turner, but, you know, without the beating or whatever.
They just want an equal partner, right?
Yeah, and they were like, yeah, indeed, anime, you should eat the cake. It ended with some poignant shit like that. But I find it interesting because we had one of our topics was the Beyonce effect. The fact that Beyonce is such a, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. I'm too sleepy.
I was about to say an icon for female blackness.
She is an icon for female blackness, but she's also somebody who, when the words don't come to me, she is someone who has people on either end of the spectrum when it comes to how they feel about her. You either love Beyonce to the point where you would die on the cross for her.
We've seen them stands.
Oh my God. Everything. I've heard everything about what Beyonce
Don't you say nothing bad about Miss Jenkins.
Right, exactly. And then you have the other end where people just hate. And that's always fascinating and weird. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, you angry.
For
you,
everything.
You can't be angry at somebody who you don't know personally that bad. Like, come on. And then people who try to toe that middle ground is interesting. You're either kind of like, it looks like you kind of fence riding. It's like, take a stand. Either you love her or you hate her.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, she's popular right now. I give it that. I'm not... She makes good music. I don't buy her stuff, but I do listen to it.
Yeah. And you think she fine. You went through your Beyonce phase like every other black, every other man.
I actually look at her dances because the dances have a little, sometimes have a little mo. She got the thigh meat, but you know, she got the Barbie look, and I like kind of sisters that look like sisters and not white girls. But well, that's just me though.
Yeah, she slimmed down significantly.
I mean, I didn't see the performance yet. We taped it. I know you saw it.
Yes.
I just kept seeing his hand on her butt. And then I've heard that articles that, her performance was basically whorish.
Well, it wasn't whorish. She had her ass out. But come on, y'all. Like, we live in the time period of Apollonia, Vanity, Mary Jane girls. Like, her outfit was no more naked than any of those ladies who was doing it in the 80s. This is also the time period of Adina, Howard, and Kia, and Little Kim, for God's sake. Like, come on. Like, right. It's not like we haven't seen nudity before. And this is first of all, it's not like we haven't seen nudity on Beyonce before. I think this is just the first time we've seen Beyonce half naked and singing about sex.
Yeah, if... Some people compare it to when Janet Jackson took that leap and it was like, oh, Janet nasty.
Yeah. So now we know Beyonce likes to have sex.
And I guess and then people conflicted because like, is it okay if she was just single and was doing this? But the fact that, you know, she's referring to herself as Miss Carter, which that is her damn name.
Is her husband.
Right.
That's what happens when you have a 5-year-old. But see, my thing is this. When she was doing like massive gyrating in a unitard for single ladies, you know what I'm saying? Like
people was loving that.
Yeah, they was loving all the pussy popping and the thigh popping. And then
bootylicious. They weren't saying
nothing to say. But all of a sudden, now that she's actually wearing those same outfits, maybe showing a tad bit more skin and saying, I like to get down. I like to bite. Sorry. And they going crazy.
And people feel like these role models have to, you know, do respect everything. It's like, oh, but girls look up to you. I'm like, well, so what am I supposed to do? Just act like a little girl?
Yeah, the girls that look up to you are having sex. Come on, get over it.
Right.
Like, and the thing is, she's doing it in the guise of marriage, which for me is respect. That's respectable.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe if her husband was Brad Pitt or somebody that women found attractive, maybe they wouldn't care.
Yeah, and then Jay-Z is a controversial character in that regard, because I have yet to hear any woman of any race say that they find Jay-Z attractive. Everybody says that there's something about Jay-Z that they like or are attracted to, but it is not necessarily him. It is that wicked double standard that men don't have to be pretty, handsome, any of that. Slim, good body. Even though, you know, a lot of us have those, you know, when you think of your quote unquote fantasy man, for a lot of women, you know, he looks, you know, he's always 6 foot something, body sculpted, this, that, and the third. But, you know, because Jay-Z is not any of that. But
he has all the other qualifications.
Yeah, he has definitely other qualifications.
He's money and power.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. I don't know. I don't know if that has an impact on why people see her the way that they see her, because she reps for that dude. She rides for her man. She does. I give her that. She rides for Jay.
And people get conflicted with that. It's like, wait a minute, are you independent or are you riding with your man? I'm confused.
Why? But that's the part that pisses me off, because you can be independent and ride for your man.
You can be.
Chicks who don't understand that are chicks that don't have men.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what usually what men want. Yeah. Well, brothers who want quality women, you want a woman who is going to be, you know, riding aside with you but can handle her own. Right. You don't want somebody who's like, for every little thing, I need you. Like, stand up for your damn self.
Right. At the same time, you don't want somebody who's like, I don't need you at all.
Right.
Whatever,
I can do it.
I'm bored. Don't tell me about your job. That's bored.
Right. I'm doing everything. You ain't doing nothing. And I want to leave. Yeah. Grammys altogether were weird. Do you have any thoughts on this whole Macklemore situation?
You know what? I got to say, I find it interesting that Macklemore sent Kendrick that text afterwards. And I wish I would have more. I don't disrespect Macklemore, but I would have more respect for Macklemore if he had actually had the courage to say what he was thinking when he was up there. Like, honestly, y'all, I don't even agree with this choice. Kendrick Lamar deserves this award. Yeah. Tonight.
He mentioned it before the Grammys.
He should have mentioned it when he got his award.
Now, I don't know if they, because I read somewhere that they, of course, you know, they don't give out every Grammy there, that they kind of didn't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. Maybe he got the Best Rap Album Award live. But it's getting a little weird. I see more him saying that, oh, well, I got a lot of this because I'm white and blah, blah. I'm like, look, just like how you said, if he had gotten the award, I would have way more respect if he was like, you know what? I want to thank y'all for, you know, for giving me this award, but honestly, I don't deserve this award. Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid, M.A.A.D City was the best album of the year. So, Kendrick, please come up, take this award.
That would have been what's up.
Or just call him, even after when you there taking pictures, be like, this Kendrick's. Kendrick, this is yours. I'm giving it to you in your hand. Everybody look, take a picture. I'm giving it to him. Because you got like four.
Yeah, that would have been, first of all, that would have been probably a first on the Grammys. That would have been historic.
Right.
And I think a lot of people would have had a whole lot of respect. Macklemore would have had a lot more respect for making that move than the move he made with the text message and then Instagramming the text message. That's passive.
Right.
And a lot of people have responded like, why your text message don't mean shit, Macklemore? You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like apologizing to somebody who you watching get racially profiled when you could have said, hey, that's my homie, back up off of right. him. You know what I mean? Like,
we've heard this before. We went through all this with Eminem.
That might have been an extreme example. But
no, that is an example. It's like you seeing something go down and just, you know, after the fact, just be like, look, you can tell them.
Right.
Instead of you like what you didn't want to offend the Grammys, the people who voted for you, just right. being honest.
But that would you be actually taking a moment, a teachable moment, haha, and educate your peers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, educate your peers as to why this situation is not correct versus, you know, collecting the spoils. Because Macklemore, for everything he's done over the last year, he is no Eminem. He is not that white boy. You know what I'm saying? He's not.
No, he's not. Well, he doesn't have the rhymes that Eminem had when Eminem was at his peak. He doesn't have the skills of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But people like him, of course, because he has a very crossover sound. He's not, his lyrics and stuff are not dark like Eminem. You know, of course, and he had, I didn't see the performance yet, but the one where he's got Queen Latifah marrying 30 gay couples and all that. You know, so people like him for that.
Did she come out?
No, she ain't gonna come out. But I mean, I'm at the point now, if you don't know by this event, if you don't get this, then you just dumb. Like, you really need her to come out and say, yes, I'm a lesbian.
You're in denial.
Right. But hey, I mean, I don't listen to stuff like that. He did work his way up. You know, he went the independent route and, you know, got a nice deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does his complexion help?
Of course.
I mean, most of the people who buy rap are white.
Well, the Grammys was super white. I remember once upon a time, if we were talking about 1980s Grammys, even 90s Grammys, you do a pan of the audience and it'd be a gang of black people. It'd be diverse, but it'd be a gang of black people. The little bit that I did watch, every time they pan the audience, I'm like, this is the whitest. Am I watching the Grammys or the Academy Awards?
Mm-hmm. Watching Taylor Swift dance to every black song.
Oh my God.
Dancing like a white girl. Dancing to a black music.
So very white.
Yeah, I'm all for, I'm going to be saying this crap. They just need to have a separate section for rap. I mean, like, break it up a little more. Every section has different, you know, varieties of music. I mean, Rihanna won for Best Urban Contemporary Album. Like, okay.
The fuck is that?
Right. But there's like three, but then there's the Best R&B Album. You know, why don't they want to do hip hop and then Contemporary Rap Album?
Popular hip hop.
Yes, I say traditional hip hop and commercial rap, or you want to say that pop rap.
Yeah, pop. We need like a pop rap would be it. We need like a genre like J-pop where you're going to have artists who are going to, they're not going to have long careers,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to put out a couple of albums that are going to be popular as long as people find them interesting and they're popular, and it'll constantly recycle. Like, it's basically what we have now. We have J-pop. That's Japan pop. Japan figured this shit out a long time ago, and that, it's just a genre for them. We just going to recycle. They look for kids to put in the J-pop genre so you can be popular for about 3 weeks. Some company can make money off of you, and then you move on to other bigger, better things. Like mm-hmm. Macklemore, I doubt we'll be having conversations about Macklemore and playing his music 20 years from now, unless on his sophomore album he busts some shit out that just changes the world.
Yeah, this next one he's gonna have more pressure on him because you know they had an issue with should they put him in pop or should they put him in rap? No, so I'm like, just have a pop rap. That way you can put him, Drake, Kanye. And they can fight over that album. Then you can have, then you would at least feel like, all right, then you'd have Mad Good Kid, Mad City could win.
Yeah.
Versus, you know.
But see, now you just made another point. You just named off like three or four really, really good artists who I don't know if they've ever received an award. I think some of them have probably been nominated, but I don't know how many of them have ever actually won an award. And the thing is, you start to ask yourself, did this man, Macklemore, create a project that was worthy of four Grammys in comparison to music that we've heard in the past that has been bypassed come award season?
You know, it's probably because he was that popular and he's, I mean, his song was on the charts and that's how the Grammys does it.
So the Grammys is based, it's really based off of the popular vote. It's based off of the people and what the people say.
Well, the people who have the right to vote.
Yeah, because I'm like, Kendrick.
Kendrick should have won, period. Yeah. Even he said it. And for those albums that were nominated, because I don't know if I can say he had the best hip hop album, you know, encompassing all hip hop.
Yeah.
But at least for those who are commercially known, by far, Good Kid, M.A.A.d City should have won.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was a light mm-hmm. in 2013.
So I'm surprised, but then I'm not. You know, we say we don't care about the Grammys, but then when we don't get recognized, we get mad.
Yeah.
We just got to say, like, hey, we just have to champion them to, like, fix it.
Yeah.
You did it for R&B. You did it for country. You did it for rock and roll. Got different genres of rock and roll. They can do the same thing.
Yeah, they can. And it would be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody just wants fairness. So much to ask in this fucking country for something to be fair. But yeah, we would appreciate a little bit of fairness. Well, I mean, Kendrick, you know, the streets got you. And as far as the people are concerned, you did win that award.
Well, Kendrick's on top right now.
Yeah, he is on top. He's totally on top. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for him to drop his next album, because the people's response to him this year has given him so much fodder, so much material. And the thing is, what makes it really great, because this is the thing about awards. Mm-hmm. Awards can be jinxing. Mm-hmm. Because an award really is saying that this is your best. So if you can't top that, you tank. But what happens is you don't get an award. Like for Kendrick, this allows Kendrick, honestly, to maintain his hunger. Mm-hmm. Because if an award is what he really wants, then he can feel like he still has a goal to strive for.
Right. And he kind of put it out in their face, because he had arguably probably the best performance off the Grammys with him and the Imagine Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
That performance was off the chain. You know, so it's like, oh, everybody loves this and you didn't give me one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Take a look. Mm-hmm. Everybody wondering how come I ain't win.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll just, yeah, he can come back and people are going to expect him to come even stronger. You know, already had the quote unquote verse of the year and all of that. So.
And that's so funny. I have a friend that's on the voting board for the Grammys. I cannot wait to have a chat with him and just see how I really want to know, like,
just the inner workings of how it actually works.
How does it work?
Right. We know how we get it when it comes to black music. They slow,
mm-hmm.
as with anything black,
mm-hmm.
slow opening that door.
Yeah.
You know, but you like to know, like, what is it basically, you know, what do they look at?
Yeah. How does it work? Well.
Good question.
Yeah. I think we gave the people a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know we love y'all, and you know where you can find us at blackisonline.com, on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. And, you know, before we go, can I just shout out a couple of podcasts that I am thoroughly enjoying these days?
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't already, I highly suggest you check out From the Black Astronauts Camp, The Pisces Life. Love that podcast. And I've been singing that little song, Two Fish Swimming. Wait a minute, is it? Two fish swimming in a dream, one swimming up. Wait, I don't know. Something like that. Two fish living in a dream, one swimming down.
One swimming upstream. One streaming downstream.
Thank you. It's the Pisces Life. The Pisces Life. Go on, Kai, girl. Sing that song. Anyway.
Kai and Letitia.
That's a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Two sisters, two Pisces, and they're really chopping it up about different topics of the day, and they both have differing perspectives. They stay on the same page with some things, but they have a really good, rich conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's
grown conversation.
Very grown, and it's a quick listen. It's something that you can listen and fall right into and get it. You know what I'm saying? It got me to and from work one day, and I was like, this is great. And I had to hit him up about it. So check out The Pisces Life. My little brother Jay is doing his thing in terms of increasing his podcast offerings and really delving into the side of him that is a staunch Christian. And he has some really wonderful offerings for your soul, for your spirit. Mm-hmm. If you are looking to be uplifted, I would encourage you to listen to his Passion and Positivity podcast, if I'm not mistaken. And in addition to that, Men Chat. Woo!
That's good.
Man. That Men Chat series is something else. Jay is killing them with the Men Chat series.
Yeah, I did one. I was like, dude, I got to get on again, man. Yes. It's good.
It's very, very good. And then also coming out of the In Deep show, I love Recap the Recap. Mm-hmm. I love Recap the Recap because Recap the Recap introduces me to podcasts that I'm not familiar with. Some that I would have not gone to seek them out on my own.
Right.
But listening to them recap the shows makes me curious about that particular programming. Mm-hmm. So really good programming there. Recap the Recap is the business.
Shout out to Queen Neem, Big B.
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to do some work with them coming up really soon. Pisces Life, too. Look forward to the Pisces Life meeting the untitled KC and Toria podcast. We're still trying to figure that out. As always... Moment of silence for the Hip Hop Digest. Love them. If you have not listened to the Hip Hop Digest, you are sleeping. Listen to the Hip Hop Digest. Those brothers got a nice, nice podcast forum happening over there. Really quick show. It's an hour. They podcast, though, for about 30, and then the other 30 is a music mix. Mm, very good.
Love it, man.
Great conversations. If you are into hip-hop, and even if you're not, like, it'll keep you up on what's happening in the hip-hop world. And not on some bullshit, like, real conversation.
Yeah. No, they give you honest opinions, give you that real.
Yeah.
And they play some real hip-hop.
Yeah, they challenge each other. It's a joy to listen to. Mm. It is a joy to listen to. My big brother Moody, Hood Love Mondays. Once again, it's a really good podcast to start off your week. And I love Moody for what he's doing with that. I love that particular podcast of his because I find it to be enlightening and uplifting. So with that, I know there's others, so many others. Oh, for shits and giggles, welcome to the village. My people over there, KJ and them, keep me cracking up. Really good conversation, really rich conversation. This last one that I listened to, what was the topic? Something about it was a devil statue being erected somewhere. Like, they find really interesting things to break down, and they have so many different personalities over there and with varying perspectives that it will keep you. It keeps you thinking, and it will keep you in stitches.
And then them village idiots.
Those village idiots are great. Those village idiots
y'all
are
be
great.
Finding them, KJ.
Yeah, y'all find some crazy people out there in the world. It's something else. So anyway, with that,
yeah, just go and, you know, support your own. That's what we all about.
Yeah,
that's the movement that's happening. So support all them podcasts.
Yeah, dig around, dig around. Pisces Life. I'm sorry I butchered the song, but I'm gonna know it by the next time. That's my song. That was in my head for like the rest of the day. But yeah, once again, you know who we are. KC and Chris, we love y'all. Once again, blackisonline.com, Black Is Magazine on Facebook, Black Is Online Twitter, and hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. And you can email me personally at KC@blackisonline.com.
Make sure you guys are checking out all the other podcasts that Black Is bringing you.
Yes, yes.
We just dropped the new episode of The Jam with Merc 80.
Yes, special guest Nola Darling Demarco. Rude Gals. That was a really good show. Check it out. A lot of fun.
And we got the Brother Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
We got Culture Connection with Brother Malcolm. And we got a couple of other shows lined up that are coming to you soon. Like I said, be on the lookout for that new show with me and Toria chopping it up. That one's been long time in the works. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate the support that you are giving us and hope that you continue to do so.
Definitely.
All right, y'all. Until next time. Peace.
Later.